You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. There you can catch up on these programs. If you've missed any of the last 5 days, you'll find them archived there. You can listen on demand anytime you please. These programs are archived, usually uploaded within 20 minutes of each hour broadcast. The automation is wonderful. So that's taken care of by the computers. They record it and then they upload it to the website. So do take advantage of it. This study, the complete study, Jeremiah, it will probably be weeks before I get the entire study up there, so you can listen to it from beginning to end. But you'll find there previous studies that we have done here on Cross the Border from the Scripture. We are attempting to go through the whole Bible, chapter by chapter, well, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And this is going to be a long project. It's going to take years. I'm doing 2 hours a day, and we've been at it for a little more than a year now, perhaps going on several years. Since I started over again, because I've learned so much, and my Heavenly Father has revealed so much to me. His Holy Spirit is opening up the Scriptures in ways that I never could see things before. So I hope that you're being edified, and as much as I am, by going through these studies, because these are just as much for me as they are for anyone out there listening. I know how it is. You're hardworking men working to feed your families and doing the things that fathers and mothers are supposed to do, and don't have time to do what I'm doing every day, and that is to go through the Scripture. So take advantage of these studies, download them to your MP3 player, listen to them while you work, make mental notes, go through the Scriptures, and check out what I say when you have an opportunity to. Don't take anything I say for granted. If there's anything that you have questions about or that sounds different from what your corporate teachers are preaching out there, well, do check it out. But don't go to them. Go to the Bible. Go to the Word of God itself. Get on your computer when you have an opportunity and download eSword. You can find that at e-sword.net. Yeah, that's eSword with a dash in there, e-sword.net, and download that, the Bible program there. And with that program, you'll get the authorized King James Version that is keyed to the original Textus Receptus, to the language, which is keyed to the Strong's Hebrew and Greek concordance. And there you can mouse over each word, is keyed with a number, numbering, Strong's numbering system, and you can see the original word, and you can see into the original text that way. Because how many of us really know Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic or whatever the original language of the Scripture was? No, we're all pretty much speaking English here. So the King James Version, the authorized King James Version, is the best English version we have out there. And it simply is the best because we have this tool where it's keyed to the Strong's Concordance, so we can peer into the original language itself and search these things out for ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal more to us that way. Because the Word of God was given to us in the original languages, and the King James Version is a translation of that. And that's a good understanding to have. So the best English translation we have out there is the authorized King James Version at this time. And so I suggest that everyone get that, use it, and have a hard copy of that that you can take wherever you go. And also, at the same time, get that eSword on your computer as a research tool. so you can check everything out for yourself. Okay, we're in Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 14. In the narrative here, the Nebuchadnezzar has just taken Jerusalem and broken it up. He has finally taken the city. He killed the king. He didn't kill the king. He plucked out the eyes of the king just after he killed his sons and all the princes and nobles of Jerusalem before his eyes. Then he plucked out his eyes and bound him and carried him off to Jerusalem, to Babylon. And the word was sent out to go into Jerusalem to find Jeremiah and set him free to do as he pleased. That's right, because the fame of Jeremiah, it was throughout all the land. Though all those nations fought against Babylon and built alliances, they could not prevail. They were turned back by the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans, his people, because they were the sword of Yahuwah. They were in his hand to punish the people of all of those nations for their wickedness. That's right. But Babylon's time would come, and that was foretold too. And I'm sure that the king of Babylon probably heard that part of the prophecy too. I believe he heard it all, but he probably just saw what he liked to see, because that was a very small part of the prophecy that Jeremiah was giving, that Babylon would fall and be punished in its time. But the time was, at that time, was the time for Babylon to be the sword of Yahuwah, of the God of Israel, the creator of all men, to punish these nations for their sins. So he sent, verse 14, and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison, and committed him unto Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among his people. And I'm sure that his home, if you go back a couple chapters there, was that piece of property that he redeemed from his kin in that transaction that was made, and the word of Yahuwah coming to him saying that they would dwell in the land. So that was, so the poor of the people, and usually the poor are the ones who had faith and had no position of authority to say anything about what happened in Jerusalem or in the land about. They were allowed to stay in the land and given possession there, as the word of Yahuwah came to the prophet Jeremiah, so it was fulfilled. Okay, so we pick back up the narrative here. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison. So we're kind of stepping back in the narrative here, before the time. And it said, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, and this was the same guy who had him drawn out of the the miry pit, the Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, saying, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith Yahuwah, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee. And of course, the men that he was afraid that he would be given into their hands was the princes of Judah who wanted to slay him. And it wasn't the people of Babylon or the Chaldeans. He says, for I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith Yahuwah. In chapter 40 and verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem to Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captains of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it, and done according as he has said, because you have sinned against the Lord. Of course, now he's speaking to all those people that the people, the captain of the guard, are speaking to the people that they took captive and saying that your God told you this was going to happen to you, because they had the word of Jeremiah. And, he has brought it. He has done according to all he has said, because you have sinned against Yahuwah and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. And now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it be seen good unto thee to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will look well unto it, to thee. But if thou seem ill to thee to come with me to go to Babylon, I forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee, whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee. Go thither, go. So now he's speaking to Jeremiah and his fellows, saying, if you want to come to Babylon, it'll be well with you there. Or if you want to stay, that's fine. Go where you want. All the land is before you. Now, while he was not yet gone back, he said, go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wheresoever seemeth convenient unto you to go. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward, and let him go. So apparently he gave him some food, because food was fairly scarce at that time, and he gave him some money and sent him out. And then went Jeremiah to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. So Jeremiah returns to his people that were left there in the land. Now when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they, their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon. Then they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, the son of Kerah, and Seraiah, the son of Tanhemeth, and the sons of Ephai, and Netophathite, and Jezariah, the son of Mahakathite, they and their men. And Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore unto them and to their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. So what he's saying is, dwell in the land, farm the land, harvest, the grapes of the vineyards and the fruit of the field, and pay the tribute when they come around to collect the tribute. You know, that's how they serve them. That's how you serve today, isn't it? Most people, I do, where I live, they have property tax, and I know if the property tax isn't paid, I know they will come with guns and they will rout me out. And I have no choice but to pay those taxes. And when I go to buy something at the store, if I don't pay it, they won't sell it to me. So they have that's a voluntary tax. If you want to buy it, you're going to pay the tax, basically. And the only way you can unvolunteer for a sales tax is to not purchase from those vendors that charge a sales tax. So you have those kind of taxes. And then there's, you can sign up for other benefits if you want, which requires more tribute from you. And those are voluntary agreements that you sign up for, or someone signed you up for them, and you're in the midst of that, and perhaps you know how to be made free, and perhaps you don't. Perhaps it's more expedient for you to continue in your voluntary servitude than it is for you to unvolunteer. But that's the position of the land, and that's the way it had always been. You know, I'm sure that even the Chaldeans, when they were under the instruction of Gedaliah here, he says, don't fear to dwell in the land. Don't fear the Chaldeans. They're going to send around, and they're going to take tribute, of you. So don't fear to pay them it's like a property tax, basically. You're going to dwell in the land, and you're going to produce fruit, and they're going to want their cut. Basically, that's it. And I'm sure there were people that, like when the Romans came in, the same thing happened in Judea. The Romans hired men of Judah to collect taxes, and they would call them employees. And the people that they had work for them would be employers. They had kind of an employment service going. So you could sign up for more benefits if you wanted with the Roman government, which would require more tribute from you. You know, the same thing's going on today. We have a Roman-style government here. If you don't believe me, go to any of your state capital and look at the idols and the gods that they have set up. And it becomes evident what's going on here, that we have a Roman-style government. So it's no wonder that when we get to Nebuchadnezzar's image and we get into prophecy and we see that at the end times, typified by the Roman iron, because remember the feet, the legs of iron was Rome, you know, because, they used brute force to, enforce their government on everybody. And there was no leniency with the Roman government, that iron, government of iron that stamped everything that came in its place. It's no wonder that today, you know, there's a worldwide government that is typified by iron mixed with clay. So our position today is that we have a Roman-style government, a Roman-type government, where there are some places where you can be stamped, like the iron fist of Rome, which ruled with a rod of iron and had no leniency at all. So you'll see that there are places and times where that type of force is being used in the earth now, and even in America now, for people who will not comply, especially if you volunteered and you're taking benefits and you refuse to comply with your agreement, they come down really hard on you in America. And you may be crying like some of those people out there, show us the law, show us the law. And yes, they will show you the law. They will bring down the iron of the Roman fist on your head and cast you into prison. They may even kill you because you are rebellious. If you want to be free, well, you learn how to be free. Because Paul said, well, if you can be made free, rather use it, slaves. But he said, until that time, you're to serve your masters as unto the Lord. But also we need to learn from Daniel. When your master starts to require you to do something, when he calls you to do something that requires you to break the law of God, then you have to refuse. So that's where you draw the line, slaves. When they require you to do something that breaks or goes against the law of God, then you refuse. They may give you license to break God's law, but they're not required. They're not requiring people to get abortions out there. So you do that voluntarily. You take the license. They're not requiring men to marry men and women to marry women. But they'll give you license to practice adultery and homosexuality and to practice abortion. They'll give you license to do that, but they're not requiring you to do it. We're not requiring you to cast in your lot with evil men and to have one purse with them, but they give you license to do that. But when they require you to, at the threat of death or the loss of your life, your limb, your property, or your loved ones, when they require you to break God's law under duress, then you have to stand and refuse. And that is when it is the most difficult. But that's what Jeremiah did. That's what Daniel did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did it. And all of those who suffered, all of the millions who suffered and died, were burned at the stake, thrown in dungeons, drawn and quartered and tortured in unfathomable ways. Those that stand up to the sword of Islam and lose their lives because they're required to bow down to another god. That's the time that you have to stand, when it is the most difficult, because then your faith is tried by fire. Will you stand? Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to make sure that you're going to stand in that day, you invest your life into the kingdom of God. And when your investment becomes so great in His kingdom that it outweighs your investment in this mortal life, then you will stand. When your eternity with Him becomes more important than any temporal thing that you have here, then you will stand. When you love Him more than you love your father, than you love your mother, than you love your children, than you love your own life, then you will stand, come what may. Then you will understand the phrase, that scripture that says, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. And that's why the fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. Chapter 40, verse 9. And Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore unto them and to their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye gather ye wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that you have taken. Likewise, when all the Yahudim that were in Moab, and among the Ammonites and Edom, and that were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Yahudim returned out of all the places whither they were driven and came to the land of Judah. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.